Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me sneeze. Now the mystery taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right. Bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings in the night. My love I bring to you.
All right. Welcome. My name is Yamsufa Ari. I, along with Cartier of New York City, my brother and friend, are your lead students on these study sessions that we come together to do. We come together to get the detailed information about relationships, how that relationship can have a negative impact upon your life with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, all praises to his name, Yah, can have a positive impact. And doing so, we've been studying in the book of Chronicles about the kings and their relationship, how some kings took full advantage of that relationship by utilizing it according to its codification and contract. Others, on the other hand, just like some of us, decided to do whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, and think the operational plan works for them. And we found out during our studies, and we come to the conclusion of these studies, that it didn't work so well for them. You have to follow the plan, people, and the contract. It's just that simple. And whether or not you're part of a dynamic of a nation within the confines of that contract, you're still subjugated to following the mandates of the Almighty as far as a relationship is concerned. Okay? If you're part of a certain nation, which we all know who that nation is, you are under codification, contract. If you're not part of that contract and you're a stranger of different nations, you're still under the mandates of that creator who created you. So you can't get away from it. So we suggest that you follow. If you're part of the contract, follow the contract. If you're not part of the contract, follow the information left for you to follow. And everything will be okay within the confines of that relationship. Also, that would apply to one another. Seeing as that we don't know how to treat each other, and that's quite true, the evidence doesn't lie. We kill, mistreat, abuse, sometimes dominate, sometimes kill one another and write songs to make $1 million about. We join all kind of organization. Let me name a few, the LGBTQXYZ, and they try to get at you and me. We try to join all these so-called organizations, Black Lives Matter, and so on and so forth. And we think that's going to be sufficient to improve upon a relationship with one another. But the all indications, all evidence suggests and infer and imply that that does not work. We still go, whether or not you in the LGBTQ, you in the Black Lives Matter, and so on and so forth, you still have a propensity to kill, mistreat, abuse, and dominate one another. The best relationship you can learn to exercise within the confines of relationships is follow the mandates of the Creator. He's left information on hand how to treat one another and how not to treat one another. It's quite simple also. And also in regards to strangers, aliens, different nations. There's a certain way you can treat certain nations. All nations you can't treat the same way. Especially those nations that want to have a relationship with you because of your creator. And some don't want to have a relationship with you. That's all right, too. They'll be okay. They'll be all right. But before Cartier and I get started in our studies, you know, I like to make comments on contemporary subject matter. They say in Haiti, you can smell death even before you got to the town where the earthquake affected our brothers and sisters in Haiti. You can smell death. An horrendous smell. Let's not forget those in Haiti, okay, while we're going about our business. And also, as far as these United States of America is concerned, a lot of things are going on in these different states and so on and so forth. But what strikes me the most is they want everything to be normal. Everything is not normal. They want to go to football games, basketball games without masks on, the preparation, and so on and so forth, as if to say the plague is going away. COVID-19 just here today, gone tomorrow. It's just disappeared. You can see them yelling at one another, even fighting in the stands. And then they are crying is if the government can make COVID go away. Joe Biden, you ain't doing your job. You dirty dog. How come you ain't made COVID go away? I ain't got no mask on, but you supposed to do it for me. I don't want my little chair to go to school with no mask on, but nevertheless, you still supposed to do it for me. And they're still trying to figure out these vaccines. They don't know whether or not to give you one, two, three, or four. You know, I tell you what, it's sort of like that opioid epidemic they had. They didn't know too much about those opioids, but they found out in the end that they were very dangerous for people, the opioid epidemic. And I suspect the very same thing would happen in lieu of these COVID vaccines. As I said, they don't know whether to give you one, two, three, four, who knows, toss it up in the air. A lot of insanity. And last but not least, internationally speaking, the Taliban has put hardliners in place. One of the hardliners that they put in place to deal with the internal mechanisms of Afghanistan is a hardliner that the FBI have a $5 million contract on. What are they saying, the Taliban? We don't care about no stinking Americans. That's what they're saying. And as I said, I think it's the Interior Minister. And there's no women has been placed in the ministry of any fashion, head or tail. They tell them, get their behind off the street and get in the house and get naked and get on that stove. That's what they basically tell them. And telling America, mind your own damn business. It's true. And, you know, did you hear about that Lindsey Graham? That Lindsey Graham, that boy something else, man. You know, Lindsey Graham, he said, America going to have to reinvade Afghanistan. Basically, you have to make them do what you want them to do. That's insanity, man. That's crazy. You know, Lindsey Graham is not the brightest light in the package anyway, so I would suspect for him to say something that ludicrous. It's true. Alrighty. Welcome again to the Real Talk for Real People show. May the Most High bless you and praise and bless his holy name also. Let me bring my dear friend and brother on from New York City, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, brother. Shalom. Your mic is high.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Jacob, Abraham, and Isaac. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yom Sufari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May bless you and your family also.
Thank you. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
I stumbled a little bit because I was thinking about Lindsey Graham.
He wanted
to reinvade Afghanistan for what? The 200 Americans that are there?
Yeah.
For the opioids that he needs.
Basically, Cartier.
I think he needs the opioids, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you. That boy's something else, man. Lindsey Graham, that boy's something else, man. I call him Lizzie Graham. He ain't got a background. If I only had a brain. Just like Off to See the Wizard. If I only had a brain. Go ahead, Cartier.
Well, you should be singing Ball of Confusion.
Yeah.
That Temptation song, because the world is in that state. That's what the world is today, a ball of confusion, more so now than even then. You're talking about they don't know whether to wear masks or take vaccinations or send their children to school or show up at a stadium with 80,000 other fans. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Most of them are confusing in their mind.
Yeah.
No doubt. Taliban is slow and steady. They ain't changed. They ain't doing nothing new under the sun. keeping it like it was.
No,
show
they
how mighty they are.
Yeah, they ain't doing nothing new under the sun, Katya. You better believe it.
U.S. trying to get back to normal, but what is normal?
Yeah, what is normal?
My heart goes out to Haiti because they've been forgotten. Our people have suffered down there. They're like on the back burner right now. But they're very resilient people. And I pray that y'all give them strength to even see the connection that they should have with him.
Amen. Sheila. Amen. All right.
Boy, confusion.
Go ahead, Katya.
Yep.
Go ahead, Katya.
Linking to y'all's plan, y'all's contract, y'all's mandate, not just Israel, but all of mankind, because it's a manual for all creation. And the bottom line is, are you doing good or are you doing evil? Are you walking the path of right or are you walking the path of wrong? Because all living is going to be judged in that day. And that day is near at hand. It's closer and closer.
And Job, we call Job, but his name is Job. He's indicative of the fact that he didn't have a contract with Yah, but he was a righteous man. And be that as it may, he lived righteous. So, I said that to say this. Only one nation has a contract with Yah. But other nations can be righteous according to Yah, following his codification of what righteousness is. Not their own codification of what righteousness is, but his own codification. Go ahead, Katya.
Yeah, so?
Yeah, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I thought you had a comment.
Oh, no. Nah.
Okay.
We all got a contract with our Creator, and he's given us the manual to follow good over evil. We broke the covenant, the special covenant that we had with the Most High. But he's given us the opportunity to get it back.
Exactly.
So,
we're sort of like in the situation that Job was, you know, so to speak. Since we broke the contract, we're sort of like in that situation where Job was. He was a man of righteousness, according to God.
Well, we're not quite like Job because Job did never worship idols. He never burnt his children to idols. He never turned his back on Yah. Job was tested by Yah to see if he would remain faithful, and he lost everything. But the fact that he remained faithful, Yah gave him everything back. But in our case, we're reading how terrible most of our kings and our people were. They refused to do what Yah told them to do. They worshiped idols. They burnt their children. They call all kind of abominations, abominable things, assassinations, and we reading it.
Exactly.
So we ain't nothing like Job, because
no,
this is why we have to apologize for what our ancient fathers did to the Most High. He said, you must repent for what your fathers did and for what y'all doing, both, because we carry that burden. And y'all is furious at us. And our conduct, the way we continue to conduct ourselves.
Exactly. We're what you call
different from our ancient kings.
Right. Yeah, we're what you call quite messy. Okay? You know, they got a saying, a modern day saying, you messy. Y'all so messy. And so applying it to us, we're quite messy. All right.
Yeah.
If Katya is done with his commentary, I certainly am, and we'll get right into our studies.
Just to say that it's important for us to get into these studies to learn why Yah is angry with us from past, because we haven't changed our ways, have we?
No, we're messy. We're messy.
Yeah, we're going to see tonight. So, we got another one of those things.
Right. Yeah, we're going to read about it in a day. King Manash. I mean, who should have known better? I mean, he was so close to power, and he had a bird's eye view of his father and what his father, King Hezekiah, did, and it had no effect on him whatsoever.
Only problem with that, young Sue, is he's 12 years old when he starts to reign. Well, we getting ahead of the story. He's 12 years old, so you know you got adults around him that been around power. And in my opinion, they really misguiding him.
Well, that being said, Gautrell, that may very well be true now. You around your daddy for 12 years old. You saw how your daddy operate too now. I mean, what part King Manasseh played into it? He knew who his daddy was. He knew how his daddy operated and whatnot. Yeah, I agree with you to a limit, Gautrell. But that limit is he could have said yes or no because of the fact he knew his father. He knew how his father operated. And then he went all contrary to the way his father operated. So I would ask King Manasseh what part he played in. Yeah, I agree, Katria. I agree to the point he was very young and inexperienced. And yeah, he would have had some lumps at the very beginning. But then he started off first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. So it seemed. But we'll get into it. Okay.
So
all right.
You compare him to King Saul. King Saul was a grown man.
Right.
And he allowed his advisors around him to lead him against the counsel of Yah. So we're talking about the difference between a grown man and a 12-year-old boy.
That's true. But he had a choice in the matter, not being king. I agree with you to a certain point. And I say you are certainly right, Gautrell, to a certain point. Because he had a choice in the matter. He was king. As I said, he could have started off lumpy, bumpy, until he gathered himself together. But no, that ain't the way it worked. And the reason what I'm saying is, Gautrell and fellow students, he had the best example. He had best on-the-job training by virtue of watching his father operate. How prosperous his father was in a relationship with Yah when he followed Yah. He saw this for 12 years. I mean, he wouldn't have been aware of it all the 12 years, you know, being a little baby and being a youth and so on and so forth. But it did come to a point in his life that he was cognizant of what his father was doing and what the nation was prospering and his father was worshiping. Yeah. Go ahead, Gautrell.
Kind of, sort of, because King Hezekiah was extended 15 years. Remember that sundial? The Most High gave him 15 extra years.
Right.
Because he was supposed to die earlier.
Exactly.
Because of some of the things that he did. So 15 years, within that 15 years period that Yah extended him, Yah allowed him to have this son, Manasseh. Right?
Right.
And then at 12 years old, Manasseh, his father, dies, the king. So he didn't really see much of what his father did in the beginning. King Hezekiah got a respite because of the mercy that Yah showed him in extending his life for 15 years.
Right. Okay. Well, let's get to the word then, Gautrell, fellow students. May the Most High bless us and bless and praise his holy name for blessing us. Chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles. No. Chapter 33. My apologies. Chapter 33. King Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. He reigned quite a long while, 55 years in Jerusalem. You know, we read about leaders living a long life, longevity, wicked leaders. And, you know, King Dawood succinctly pondered this, how they lived so long and whatnot, you know, in the Psalms. He prophetically wrote about these very same things, how they seemed to prosper and live so long and reign so long. And I think King Manasseh could be a subject case in point. Because, as I said, he lived 55 years, and he lived it displeasing Yah. He did what was displeasing to Yah, following the abhorrent practices of the nation that Yah had dispossessed before the Israelites. He rebuilt the shrines, the churches, that his father Hezekiah had demolished. He erected altars for Baal and made sacred posts. He bowed down to all the hosts of heaven, any god that was up there. He bowed down to and worshiped him. He built altars to them in the house of the Elohim, in which Yah had said, my name will be in Jerusalem forever. He had little regard for Yah. He built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Elohim, this guy. He consigned his sons to the fire in the body of Ben-Hinnom. He sacrificed his children. I mean, you think that would be the end of the story. But it's not. He practiced soothsaying, divination, and sorcery. He consulted ghosts and familiar spirits, things that we were told not to do. He did much that was displeasing to Yah in order to vex him, irritate him. He placed a sculptured image that he had made in the house of Yah, which Elohim had said to King David and his son Solomon, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I choose out of all the tribes of Israel, I will establish my name forever. I will never again remove the feet of Israel from the land that I assigned to their fathers, if only contingent upon the fact they observed faithfully all that I have commanded them, all the teachings of the laws, the codifications, and the contracts and rules given by Moses. King Manasseh, he led Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem astray into even evil greater than done by the nations that Yah had destroyed before the Israel. He outproceeded the nations that the Most High got out of the land. His depravity, his wickedness outshine the nations that were dispossessed before them. He doubled down on the madness. Yah said, spoke to King Manasseh and his people. He was trying to talk to him because he got love for him, blood in. But they would not heed. So Yah brought against them the officers of the army of the king of Assyria. He took King Manasseh captive in manacles, bound him in feathers, and led him off to Babylon. In his distress, he entreated Yah, his Elohim, and humbled himself greatly before Yah of his fathers. He got some gat right. He prayed to him, and Yah granted his prayer, heard his plea, and returned him to Jerusalem, to his kingdom. Then he finally dawned upon him. He had a metamorphosis, like some of us ought to have. King Manasseh knew that Yah alone was Elohim. Afterwards, he built the outer wall of the city of King David, west of Gihon, in the Wadi on the way to the Fish Gate. In the circle Ophel, he raised it very high. He also placed army officers in all the fortified towns of Yehuda. He removed the foreign gods and the image from the house of the Elohim, as well as all the altars that he had built on the mount of the house of the Elohim in Jerusalem, and dumped them outside the city. He rebuilt the altar of Yah and offered on his sacrifices of well-being and thanksgiving. And so he should have. And so we should. And commanded the people of Yehuda to worship Yah, Elohim of Israel. To be sure, the people continued sacrificing at the shrines, but only to Yah, their Elohim. They had some get right too. They had some come to Yah moment. Kumbaya. The other events of King Manasseh's reign and his prayer to his Elohim. The words, some of y'all would have thought, man, why he let him off like that? Let me tell you something. Stop trying to be so judgmental. I mean, some of y'all always talking about other brothers and sisters, and rightly so in some cases. Rightly so. You talk about the bones in their closet, rightly so. Why, you got the whole cemetery in yours, rightly so. Work on yourself, too. Work on yourself. Stop trying to be judged. Stop trying to judge people from a spiritual connotation, from a human set of eyes. You're not Yah anyway. I'm not Yah. It's his prerogative to do whatever he wants, how he wants, whenever he wants it. And so certainly he forgave King Manasseh. He forgave our brothers and sisters. It was his prerogative. You need to be working on humbling yourself and getting the graveyard out of your closets. Okay? I'm still working on mine. Oh, it's true. All right. I ain't nothing special. The other bits of King Manasseh reign and his prayer to his Elohim, and the words of the prophets who spoke to him in the name of Yah Elohim of Israel are found in the Chronicles of Kings of Israel. His prayer and how it was granted him, because he humbled himself. He had some come to Yah moment, kumbaya. The whole account of his sin and trespass, and the place in which he had built shrines and installed sacred posts and images before he humbled himself, are recorded in the house, the words of Hosea. King Manasseh, now I see where Katriel gave him a little lenience and latitude. Rightly so, because the Most High certainly did, and rightly so, because of his youth and inexperience, following the counsel, perhaps, of his advisors, as Katriel succinctly alluded to the fact, because of his youth and inexperience. And when it finally dawned on him when he was led off to Babylon and Manos and Fretters, and he didn't call on the gods of his enemies. He didn't call on none of that. He didn't call on the soothsayers, the ghost people, the divination people. He called on Yah. And Yah heard him because he had humbled himself, just like we all should be doing, just like King Manasseh. When we get beside ourselves and get out of pocket, we all should be humble ourselves, as in the case of King Manasseh, and call on Yah. And so that's a good thing. So King Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried on his palace grounds. His son Amon succeeded him as king. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned only 2 years in Jerusalem. Why did it reign only 2 years? He did what was displeasing. He spit in the hand of that relationship with Yah. And as his father, King Manasseh, had done, King Amon sacrificed to all the idols that his father, King Manasseh, had made and worshipped them. He did not humble himself before Yah as his father, King Manasseh, had humbled himself. Instead, King Amon incurred more guilt. His courage conspired against him and killed him in his palace. But the people of the land struck down all who had conspired against King Amon. Although he wasn't a good king, they knew that they didn't have the authority to do what they did. And the people of the land made his son King Josiah, king in his stead. All right. Godreal, my brother and friend, what is your commentary?
The Most High gave it? King.
Go ahead.
Manasseh a second opportunity to get himself right. Mm-hmm. See that he finally realized who was really God when he mm-hmm. got carried off by the Assyrian. But we know about this guy from 2 Kings, 21st chapter.
Right.
2 Kings, the 21st chapter, let's start with the 10th verse. He says, mm-hmm. and Yah spoke by his servants, the prophets. We're talking about Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel. All these prophets were in King Manasseh's time.
Mm-hmm.
He says, because King Manasseh of Judah had done these abominations and had done wickedly above all the Amorites which were before him, and hath made Yehuda also to sin with his idols. Therefore thus saith Yah Elohim of Israel, behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Yehuda, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of the enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all the enemies. So this is the beginning of the fall of the kingdom of Judah. King Manasseh started it, stirring up Yah's anger. It says, because they have done that which is evil in my sight and provoked me to anger, their fathers came out of Egypt, even unto this day. So where was King Manasseh getting all these new gods and new ideas that growing up as a young man, he never even saw? People were probably introducing this stuff to him, and he, being a naive young man, allowed them to do what they wanted to do until he got carried off. But he says, moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much. He had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other besides his sin, which he made Yehuda to sin in doing that which is evil inside of Yah. So the Most High forgave him a little bit, but he caused major consequences for the nation overall.
Exactly. He set things in motion.
And unfortunately, since that day that he set that in motion, we have not been in the good graces of the Most High as a nation. Maybe some of us individually, but not overall as a nation, because we're still scattered in the lands of our enemies. And he's left these lessons to allow us to get our hearts right with him.
True that, Godfrey. True that.
And he's shown us that he'll give us a chance, no matter what kind of thing you've been involved with, because Manasseh was a terrible king. King Manasseh was a terrible king.
Yeah, he murdered his own children. What is that? Fratricide? What is it called? Fratricide? What is that name? Let me look it up, y'all, right quick. Cartier is talking.
It's called murder.
Yeah. When you murder your own children, what is it called?
I think they have a term for women that kill their children. Infanticide?
A parent killing their own child.
Filicide.
Filicide is derived from the Latin word filius and...
When a parent kill their own child, filicide. Okay.
What they call it?
Filicide.
Oh, they slick. Filicide. Sound like the Philistines, right?
You Philistine your children. Filicide.
That's what they were practicing, right? The Philistines, the Canaanite. Night.
Yeah.
Filicide.
Filicide. Hey, that is slick, Katja. I never did think about it till I repeated what you just said. So, yeah, Cartrell owned something here. Philicide.
It's all connected.
We're connected. And that's why these studies are urgent, Cartrell, that you and I participate in with the other students, because of the fact, the more you talk, the more you study, the more you meditate on the Word of God, a lot of things become clear. Things that you were confused about, they become much more clear. And you have a much more solid understanding, so you can get a stable spirit as a result of your studies. You can garner a stable spirit, which is very important in your relationship with the Creator, to have that steadfast spirit. So, yes, these studies are essential to your health, physically and spiritually, no matter how you look at it. Cartrell, do you have any more comments on what we just studied on King Manasseh?
King Amon, he's a doozy.
He's a chip off the old block, huh?
Yeah, he didn't learn the lesson.
No, he didn't.
Now, he should have learned the lesson because he's 20 years old when he
got. I started to make that comment, Cartrell. I started to make that comment in his regard, that he should have learned the lesson, you know. But I'm glad you made that comment.
And it's obvious his servant didn't know that they weren't supposed to put their hands on him because he was the anointed king.
Right.
But they did it anyway, and they paid the price.
Exactly. Because as memory recall, fellow students, you knew there's no way King Dawid was about to put his hand on King Saul. He would always say, I would never touch the hand of the Most High's anointing. And he did.
And he had every right to.
He had every right to, legitimately. The man was trying to kill him. Every time he looked right, he playing a lute. He throwing spears at him. He sent folk to his house to bust his head up. You know, how you gonna send a man? How you gonna send folks to your daughter's house with her husband to do him in? Which he did. King Saul was nothing to play with. He was gonna murder the man at his own house in front of his own daughter.
Said King David learned to send the man you want to kill to the front line.
Yeah, where did he learn that from, Kurt? Where did he learn that from?
I know where he learned it from.
he had a good teaching, King Saul.
Oh yeah.
I think you're right about
King
that.
Saul was trying to do him like he did Uriah, son. Believe me.
Right. Yeah, he had a good teacher in King Saul. King Saul was an excellent teacher on how to get rid of his enemies. And he certainly tried to get rid of young David at that time. Many a times. Not just one time, many a times. All right.
Amen.
You know, Crotcher, it's a sad humor in that, but it's true. It's a fact of the matter. You know, you said it right, man. What did he learn that from? He had a good teacher, King Saul. All right. Kadri, do you have any more commentary, my dear brother and friend?
Not on the scripture we just read. I'm done.
Okay. Well, Kadri, we're looking forward to another lovely song of the King Dawud in the Book of Psalms by Asaph or whoever wrote it. We're looking forward to it.
Yes, of Psalms, the 76th chapter, is mm-hmm. composed by the famous singer Asaph, the Levite.
Asaph, my man.
And Asaph. Mm-hmm. And in this song that he composed, that we read as a psalm, it's prophetic. He's giving mm-hmm. glory and honor to the Most High Yah, and he's letting you know what the outcome is going to be. So we give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we thank him for our brother, the singer Asaph.
Asaph.
I'm wondering if he's the one that put the fables together. You remember Asaph's fable?
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if that was him.
It wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah.
Because that's a Hebrew name, Asaph.
Yeah. Asaph. And it's not a common name.
No, not at all.
And
he's a writer.
Yeah, he's a writer. He's a good writer. And
mm-hmm.
so those Aesop tales are very righteous in a sense, Katrina.
They have a moral.
Yeah, they have a moral.
Every story he wrote had a moral to the story.
Exactly.
Right.
It would surprise me that is the uh-huh. very same one in the same Asaph.
Yeah, I gotta do some research. I've always pondered that myself. But
yeah,
the songs that he write here are marvelous.
Yeah.
Huh?
I concur with you on that, Katja. I concur.
No doubt. So the Psalm of Asaph. Elohim is known in Judah, Yehuda, and Yisrael. His reputation is great. Yeah, both sides of the nation are supposed to know. The kingdom of Yehuda and the kingdom of Yisrael, we're all supposed to know and cling to that. That's what gives us our power and our might and stability. And we see when we go contrary and walk otherwise, the end result is not good. His abode is in Shalem, his dwelling place in Zion. There he shattered sharp arrows, shields, swords, and weapons of war. We just read that, right? Bailed out King Hezekiah from the Assyrians. You are enveloped by light, Yah, more majestic than mountains filled with game. Brave men are plundered while they slumbered in their sleep. To Yanni, the slumbers no sleep. He's always alert. Our enemies have to slumber and sleep because they are but mortal men. All the men of the army were immobilized. Y'all could do that. At the sound of your battle cry, Elohim of Yahquot, both horses and chariot rider fell into deep sleep. You are awesome. Who can stand in your presence when you are angry? And I always talk about this to Imam Hadora.
Right.
When the Most High spoke to us at the mountain, right?
Right.
Because we wanted to speak to him. What happened when he spoke to us? We ran for the hills, didn't we? And we said, we don't want you to speak to you anymore. Send Moses. Most High said, you've spoken well. I'm going to send you a man like Moses to speak for me. Because if I speak to you, I might kill you.
Exactly.
But when he shouts, when the Most High shouts, Lord, have mercy. It says both ride horse and rider fell in deep sleep. He's talking about death. You are awesome. Who can stand in your presence when you are angry? And we know that futuristically, the Most High said he's going to come with a shout. And that shout is going to shake up the heavens and the earth. To where
it's
all going to
make, it's going to make everybody weaken in these countries.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Because from heaven, you declare judgment. That's where the judgment is coming from. The earth stands in awe and is quiet, especially when Yah shouts. When Elohim arose to execute justice and to deliver all the afflicted of the earth, even human anger praises you. You will wear the survivors of your wrath as an ornament. You hear that out?
Yeah.
The people ain't going to be able to stand Yah's wrath. Who survives Yah's wrath is going to be really close to Yah. He said he's going to wear him as an ornament. Like a portion of victory from a war.
Mm-hmm.
Let everyone who surrounds Yahya Elohim make a vow and fulfill it to the awesome one. Yeah, we all need to make a vow to Yah to be loyal and dedicated to him and to him alone. He will humble the arrogant, commanders in chief, instilling fear among the kings of the earth. Yeah, so all these people running around grabbing titles, the Most High say he's going to humble them and instill fear. Like I said, when Yah shout, trust me, everybody going to bow down. He said, we're going to be like a woman in travail.
Mm-hmm.
So at least he's giving us the preparation for it. If you're not prepared for it, it might just scare you when it comes. So scare you to death. You heard that phrase, scare you to death. This is where it comes from. When Yah shouted, he said he put horses and warriors to sleep. It ain't like the sleep you're going to wake up from.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, when the Most High said night-night, you know how to get up from that night-night. Okay?
Not at all. I believe I got my brother Yirmiyahu on the phone.
Yes, sir.
What's that, country?
Yirmiyahu.
Yes, sir, my brother.
My adopted son.
Yirmiyahu.
How are you?
I'm blessing yourself.
May the Most High bless you, Yirmiyahu.
You're on the
going
road
down,
again.
Brother, always. Go warrior. Like Elijah the prophet running from city to city. trying to save my people.
Yeah, man.
How's your family, Yirmiyahu?
It's coming along. I'm about to have my another baby in about a month.
Yeah, okay. Well, send them my regards. Okay, send them the Real Talk for Real People Show regards. Tell them we got them in our prayers and we asked about them.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Most I bless and be with you on the road, Doc.
No doubt.
You on the way back to Ali?
Yeah. I'm in Georgia right now.
Wow.
Thinking about pick up my wife.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So you're heading
man,
back
yeah,
to...
Definitely, yeah.
Okay.
Head up.
Oh, no. Okay, you're headed back to Arizona?
Yeah, eventually. I'm going to Georgia right now.
Yeah, Cartrell said you're still working on that plan that we're working on. I'm not going into details. I don't like to go into details on the show about our private business, but you're still working on that plan, right?
Oh, it's almost in the end zone, man. At the 5-yard line.
Okay,
right now.
Okay, all right. Send them over. I understand exactly where you're coming from. That's all. All right. Well, look here, Yemyahu, you and your wife, and you be safe on the road traveling back home. Your children, your wife, you be safe, and may the Most High bless you and direct and order your steps, okay?
I appreciate you, Ak. I love you. Thanks for everything, man.
Okay.
You definitely got to hook up.
All right.
Show's over?
Nah, we on the show.
Yeah, we on the show. Yeah, yeah. That's why I couldn't get into detail about what we were talking about. That's why I told you. Say no more because of the fact I didn't want to go into detail on the show about our personal business.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay.
All right. Hit me later then.
Okay, brother. We love you, man. Be safe.
No doubt.
Okay? Cartrell?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Yes. All right, fellow students. Cartrell, do you have a closing remark before we get out of here?
Just trust in Yah with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Lean not upon your own understanding. Meditate, immerse yourself in the word of the Most High. The Most High has given us like clear understanding of how to deal with our human nature, our personal demons. The kings are the example, and we can see cause and result. For every action is equal and opposite reaction. So we want to walk the path of righteousness so that we get the blessings, and we're learning how to do it by repenting, humbling ourselves, and doing what these kings did when they were away from Yah, doing their own thing. Return to Yah and humble yourself, ask Yah for forgiveness, and link up because we need those blessings.
Exactly. Okay, well, fellow students, I pray that you take to heart what Cartier has just shared with you. Humbling oneself, acknowledging one's shortcomings, and as Cartier said, hook up with the Most High in order to put you on the right path to recovery. That being said, Cartier and I, we don't know much, but we do know this, and we share this with you. We don't know where you're going, but you're finna get ready to get out of here. You've been studying with us on the Real Talk for Real People show. All praise to Yah. You take these studies to heart. You meditate on these studies. You share these studies when opportunity presents itself. You utilize these studies in your own personal life that they direct and order your steps because they are the word of the Elohim. And that they are the light into your pathway. And may the Most High bless you. May he direct you and continue to direct you and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. It is not cute, and it won't get you anywhere. In this relationship with Yah, you have to follow the rules. You can't make up rules. You can't lie to yourself and make up rules and think those rules are going to be substantial rules. That's ridiculous. Stop being ridiculous. I mean, you would use the same approach to your day-to-day life with other human beings. And so somewhat have the same approach to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and much more so. You can't just make up stuff and think that's I didn't made it up, that's the truth. No, it's not the truth, it's the lie. So, Cartrell and I, we always suggest at the end of these study sessions that you get a new spirit. What would that new spirit look like? It would be steadfast no matter what comes at you, no matter coming out of left field, no matter fear, no matter panic, no matter COVID-19, no matter universal white race supremacy, no matter LGBTQ, and they try to get at you, no matter Black Lives Matter, no matter anybody, steadfast, steady as it goes. That kind of spirit. And also have the right mind, the right heart. What would that look like? Just like King David. That would it look like. Loving the Most High. And that's a very powerful word. Loving. Not just in fear, but in appreciation. Loving the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. and your brothers and sisters, which is very important too, as yourself, meaning that you should love yourself. Love yourself. I don't care what they told you about you, that you ain't nothing but a nigga and this and that and the other. You ain't got no sense. You stupid. You ugly. Forget about all that. It doesn't matter because it doesn't mean anything what they say about you. The Most High has said you got to love yourself, irregardless of what anybody say about you. And then you got to love your brothers and sisters as you learn to love yourself. And then you won't be mistreating them and abusing them and dominating them and killing them sometime and writing songs about it to make $1 million. It's true. And they're continually thirst after righteousness. What does that look like? Thirst after righteousness. Well, to put it in a way that you understand, you know, you ain't had water in several days or whatnot, and you're thirsty. Your mouth is parched, and it's dry. And you want that glass of water. You got to have you think about 24/7. You think about that glass of water. Well, that's how you should be with Yah's word every day. That you're parched. You're parched because of the way things are in this universe. And you just got to have that refreshing, nourishing water. You got to have that. You got to thirst after righteousness. You got to thirst after Yah's word. You got to thirst after meditating on it. You got to thirst after applying it in your life. It becomes second nature to you. That's what it looks like. Well, Cadre, fellow students, you know, we love y'all. May the Most High bless y'all. Shalom, and good night.